This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Kicking off hour two here, Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bond, and Tony. SiriusXM channel 158, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, VSiN Watch app, any of our great terrestrial radio stations across the country. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We got a great hour on deck. Our NFL training camp tour is going to continue. We'll have plenty of fantasy football talk as well, which can also help you. We love talking fantasy because from a betting perspective, it can really help you shape your thought process about some of those season-long props, and I mean week-to-week props as well. Depending on certain matchups, we'll have Kendall Valenzuela going to join us from Fantasy Life. Also, Brad Evans, betting and fantasy analyst. So lots of that to break down. And a best bet from me today in Major League Baseball. Who am I? I don't know. Plenty of futures draft discussion, too. We're going to break down each and every one of our picks that we had from the draft yesterday that wasn't chaotic at all. It was totally normal and chill and calm.
Outside of the times that John Hansen would have to make a selection.
Stop. Here's what we need to do. I just want to put this out there. You taught me a very good computer function that I think
Control
everyone
F?
At our network should learn.
Command
I, yes,
F?
But I learned that like 2 years ago from you now.
This is the most basic concept of technology,
well,
Command
I
F?
I would not use the shortcut. I would go up and find it.
Yeah, you would go to like File, Find on Page, like
yes.
Command
and then
F.
You said, what's wrong with you? And then I learned my lesson. However, that was a key instrument that should have been utilized yesterday from all of our hosts that was not. We'll get to that in a little bit, but let's start this hour like we have been the last couple of weeks as our training camp tour continues.
Join Stormy and JVT as they go on the Money Moves NFL training camp tour.
Where are we at? Headed to H-Town, the Houston Texans. Quick refresher from last year.
You gonna drive at any point this trip?
You won't let me. You don't trust a woman behind the wheel.
Very true.
You've told me this before. 2025 was a bit of a roller coaster year, right? Houston starts off the season 0-3. Going into week 10, they were 3-5 at that point. Then they reel off 9 straight wins, close out the regular season, tying a franchise record 12-win season. Go over the win total, all the things. They beat the Steelers in the wild card round because that's just what happens to the Steelers every year if they get to the postseason. CJ Stroud wasn't great that game, and then he was even worse in the divisional round. Throws 4 first-half picks, one that was taken back for a house call against the Patriots. Season over. Theme of last year. Offensive line play was bad. CJ Stroud, you ask how much of the issues for the offense do you put on his shoulders? Defense was elite, though. So I guess looking ahead to this year, can they replicate what we saw from the defense and can they get some of those areas offensively fixed?
Yeah, I mean, I think to answer that first question, yes, they're going to be able to replicate what's going on with this defense. I think you kind of blindly trust that this defense is going to be exactly what it was a season ago. Really no questions about it. And so it makes the analysis for this team somewhat easy because you know where all the questions lie. Now, can they answer those questions appropriately is going to be what hangs over this group as we move forward into the 2026 season. But there is no doubt that C.J. Stroud, every single year so far, has declined a bit since his rookie year. Now, on the surface, the numbers were almost identical, at least in terms of 21 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, regular season and postseason last year. But turnover with a play rate goes from 2.8% to 3.8%. It's a really, really big jump. Completion percentage dips from 63.6% last year to 62.5%. At minimal, but still a decrease nonetheless. Yards per attempt dip as well. So you're putting the ball in danger more. You're not getting as aggressive. You're not getting the most out of your passing attempts. You're a guy that at one point looked like he was going to be one of the better quarterbacks, but now has kind of headed in the wrong direction. But you were the 10th most pressured quarterback in the National Football League last year. In terms of percentage of dropbacks, it was 37.4%. If you can get that right, and if you can operate better in pressure situations. Human says this all the time. I always invoke it because he made fun of me one time because we were talking about pressure and I couldn't know who we were talking about, but I said, well, he's not doing well under pressure. And his response is, well, what quarterback does? And it's a fair assessment, but it's also some quarterbacks handle pressure better than others. Mm-hmm. I've seen you deal with pressure. You're a nightmare, right? But some people can actually handle it. So if he can get a little bit better, because last year on the dropbacks in which he was under pressure, he had a 5-touchdown-to-8-interception ratio. He committed 14 turnover-worthy plays for a rate of 6%. That's abysmal. If they can allow him to be pressured fewer times, if he can be better while he's under pressure, then I think this team can be good enough to achieve some of the things that a lot of people expect them to, which is win the AFC potentially.
Yeah, just looking at some more of those numbers, though, from their offensive line. Pass block win rate, 30th. Run block win rate, last. I mean, that's another layer of this, too, is the run game. They've had one of the worst run games in the National Football League since C.J. Stroud was drafted. Now, though, you get him a little bit of help, right? You bring in David Montgomery, Woody Marks. D'Amico Ryans said earlier this preseason as well that felt like C.J. Stroud and Nick Cayley, offensive coordinator, that the two of them were communicating much better. So it feels like they're doing the right things to try to build around him, right? You get to bring over a good running back. You're rebuilding the offensive line. Wide receivers, Nico Collins gets paid, so you feel good about that. They did get the bad news earlier this week, though, that second-year receiver Jaden Higgins, he's done for the year, tore his ACL after there's a lot of optimism about what he could potentially be this year. He's kind of like that big-bodied guy to play opposite him, and a reason why that's so important because, yes, you have Tank Dell coming back, but off of a very, very severe knee injury and a guy who has had injury problems in the past. So, will you have a healthy wide receiver unit this year has been another thematic question for this Houston Texans offense in the time that Stroud has been there.
Yeah, and I think, and you're right too about the offensive line. We shouldn't ignore the other side of it. They were 24th in adjusted line yards per carry last season, just over four. It was really poor. And yes, you bring in Montgomery and you have Woody Marks, but as we have talked about many times, we invoked it when the Raiders drafted Ashton Jeanty. A good running back does not change a bad running game.
Yeah.
It is the offensive line. So it goes back to that, the new configurations that they're going to have out there as well. So it really kind of ties all into this. I think a lot of it to the point of what we were blaming the shortcomings for the Houston Texans were, I've come more around, like I mentioned at the top, I've changed my opinion a bit. I've come more around on the thought of, this sounds extreme, C.J. Stroud can be saved. He can be a good quarterback. I just think that he's got to be better under pressure. This offensive line's got to be better. And those are things that can happen with the changes they've made along the offensive line this year.
I mean, it's no question. Yeah. And like, we don't even have to talk about the defense because they were elite. They're probably going to be elite once again. But when I look at the division specifically, I think they're the rightful favorite. But I still think that Jacksonville is a very formidable opponent in the division for them as well. If they can, and I know you've criticized the back end of their schedule last year when they started to really shift gears and turn things around, Jacksonville, that is. But if they can pick up where they left off, especially from a pass game perspective and the way that Trevor Lawrence was able to turn things on, and I think they can, I'm a believer in the Jags in this division, especially at the number that you're getting. Plus 250-ish in that range right now compared to the Texans, who are plus 110 favorites. Personally, that's just how I see the AFC South.
And for our audience, you can watch all these. We have every single one of these training camp tours up on the VSiN Watch app, along with our fantasy draft, by the way, which we'll talk about coming up in a little bit. But the whole point for me here is you go back to that segment that we talked about it to give some context of what Stormy's saying. You look at the winning streak that the Jacksonville Jaguars went on at the end of the year, Arizona, Tennessee, Indianapolis, the Jets, the Colts again, the Titans again. So if we're going to criticize, my whole point was, we're going to criticize the Patriots for having a really easy schedule, then we should look at that in the same prism what we do with the Jacksonville Jaguars' success last year. But to your overall point, Jacksonville is going to be formidable. I think you're looking at this division, and it's Houston, Jacksonville, 1 and 2 are in that tier together, and then there's a gaping chasm the size of potentially of the Grand Canyon, and then there's the Colts and the Titans. And I don't think there's really any question. I would be stunned, and there would have to be some sort of massive injury issue if these two teams didn't finish 1 and 2 in some order, Jacksonville and Houston, right?
Yeah, and maybe that's something that you look at, right? Because there are those exact orders, and we feel pretty confident in the Colts being
Is it a we?
That we think the Colts are going to be bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know you were on the train with me.
Yeah,
everybody was all excited about Mitch Moss yesterday in the draft. Like, oh, look, Mitch, it's a hot take going under 7.5 wins. Like, come on now.
We've
been doing this whole bit the whole time on this show.
I am completely and utterly confused by all of the conversation about Daniel Jones being 100% ready to go.
Sure.
You know, and like maybe he is and maybe I'm wrong and maybe we're looking into this too much. But I don't know. That is a very serious injury. And he's coming back like at a historic pace.
Right. Or maybe coaches are dirty liars and he's not really ready. Well, again, he could be ready, but he's just not maybe going to be the same guy.
The same. And that element of his game, using his legs, especially like some of those goal line things that we've talked about, are important.
But this is a Texans thing. So let me
Come on now.
So let's.
But do those exact orders. All that to say, the divisions are interesting. From an award standpoint.
Well, I was going to bring one thing up.
Okay.
Texans are 18-1 to have the most wins in the NFL. If you're buying the improvements for the offense, because this defense is so good, you don't really have to have a top 10 offense in the NFL. And I think they could be closer to 10 than we maybe expect from an efficiency standpoint if the offensive line is going to be improved. But it's not the most daunting schedule in the world through the bye week. And if this Texans defense is as good as we think it is, somewhat home heavy to start the season, right? I believe all three of those games are at home. They don't have a neutral site in there. Bills, Bengals, Cowboys. I know that's a tough 1-2 punch at the top, but their defense is more than capable of doing it. Same thing with the Cowboys. If you get through that, like 3-1 or whatever it is, I mean, all of a sudden, you're looking at a pretty clear path here for a ton of wins if you're the Houston Texans.
I would prefer to take that than the Super Bowl,
sure,
personally, especially given C.J. Stroud's postseason-specific shortcomings. Like, his worst games of his career have been in the playoffs. The Texans do, though, overall. I was surprised because eye test, I didn't get this energy, but according to the opponent win totals, it's 10th most difficult schedule in the league this year. I thought it seemed a little bit easier than that, so that did surprise me a little bit to read. Anything else, though, like defensive player of the year wise? Are you looking at Will Anderson, or is he too short for
it's gotta,
you?
It's got to be it, right?
I mean, that would be the one that popped in my mind.
I would wonder if he would. Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's obviously they have like guys like Myles Garrett and these other contenders, but he is starting to defensive player of the year in so many of these sports, NBA and NFL specifically, sometimes a reputation base, and the NFL does have a ton of numbers tied into it, obviously, but Anderson can put up the statistical production that even at the short price might be worth looking at for sure.
There are plenty of bets on Houston or fading Houston. If you want to check them out in the NFL betting guide, lots of varying opinions, but you can see what your favorite analyst thinks about them. You get the NFL betting guide for free when you're a VSiN Pro subscriber. You can sign up right now for as little as $9.99. In addition to the NFL betting guide, you get our college football betting guide, which is such a critical resource as you get set for the season. As we get closer to the NBA and NHL, there will be additional content that's coming out there, and you get unlimited access to everything at the website. So check it out today, VSiN.com/subscribe. Again, VSIN.com/subscribe.
Keith checks in, says, I enjoy JVT's takes. He's very entertaining, and I agree with some.
Is that your burner account?
But I have to draw the line with a soft pretzel take.
Hey, now I know it's real.
To reiterate, soft pretzels are a very overrated
Keith,
food.
You're speaking my language. A nice little beer cheese, the grainy mustard. I don't know if there's a special name for that. There probably is.
Like, it's real called, like, mustard? Grainy mustard. Yeah, I think that.
God is good. Not too much salt, though. Not too much salt on the pretzel.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Saying it's a football Friday as we welcome back in here to Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network, but it's really a fantasy football Friday with all the action that's going on here at Circa, where we're broadcasting from. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel, and now Kendall Valenzuela joining us live in the fresh from Fantasy Life. How's it going?
Good. I'm so excited to finally be with you.
I know.
Guys. I was with you all last season, so now in person, we're ready to go.
Yeah, in person. This is the first time you've met Stormy in person?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
I've only had the opportunity earlier today to go up and say hi to Kendall like I did.
You know, well, he did come up. He said hi. He said Stormy didn't want to show up.
Wow.
I said, that's okay.
Okay.
I said, that's okay. She's busy.
It's quite
she's
got a lot to do.
Words hurt. We actually went outside because we thought you guys were at Stadium Swim. So we made one field trip which no one was out there. And then we were getting closer to showtime. And one of us actually has to prep the show. I don't know.
Oh.
Like it's, you know, somebody has to do it.
Show up.
Somebody has to do it.
Pretty much. It's all appears. It's a steel trap.
Kendall is going to be with us once again, though, this season, weekly, talking through all the different fantasy things. But first things first.
Yep.
How many drafts are you doing while you're out here? What is the schedule for today and tomorrow?
Yeah, schedule's a lot. So if you guys are down here, like, come down and draft with us, because we've got drafts going with everyone that you can think of. Like, Austin Eckler's up there right now. We got a lot of cool guys coming up. So
I knew. I watched him. I was like,
did you say, I know who that is?
Exactly. I know who that is.
I know that slightly bald head.
Yeah, okay. So today I just finished one, so I've got my I Drafted Today sticker on. But we've got, I think I'm doing three or four this weekend. We've got ranges from $25 up to, you know, $350 entries, so everything that you can imagine. Yeah, we got that one. So it's going to be fun. And then I'm doing SiriusXM today, too, if anyone wants to come
You're busy.
Out.
Wait, so I can just go up and join something?
Yeah.
Oh, I
got anybody local in Vegas,
anyone here, like, come up, because we've got so many drafts going on. Like, every single hour there's a draft. And tomorrow it gets even bigger. So, like, today's the slow day.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow, you just walk upstairs, you say, I want to draft.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
Just hungover, just come in and hang out for a little bit, and just draft and be peaceful, yeah.
JVT's already trying to line up the wristband to go to the party later.
What do you mean trying to line up?
He's like, oh,
you got it done? Sorry.
It's when he came upstairs and left you. He left your wristband.
I ran it to Steve Cohen. He pulled a couple out of his pocket. I was like, all right, let's go.
Okay, so I do want to tell you, Kendall, real quickly. You are glowing. Does it have anything to do with you being a fan of the reigning Super Bowl champion, Seattle Seahawks?
You know, I'm glad you brought it up. I thought that's what we were going to talk about the whole time today. It's nice, you know, having the reigning Super Bowl champions at winning it, you know, at the 49ers home field.
So, very painful. Thank you. Okay, see?
You have a bit of a glow, you know, for that long. Sorry, Jets fans, you don't know what that feels like. Cowboys fans, I'm sorry. That's for Adam Ramis. I know. I'm sorry.
There might be a similar glow emanating from the electrical substation out in San Francisco. You have wanted to bring this up, so go ahead. Talk about your old and injured 49ers.
I have several 49ers-related fantasy questions, and I want to start with George Kittle because we did get the little mini update yesterday from Adam Schefter that apparently all things are looking good in his recovery. Yeah. The target is week one. But from a fantasy standpoint, season-long stuff, last year I was stoked when I got him in the draft, but obviously that crashed and burned. What do I do now if I was liking George Kittle?
Honestly, I still think his price is really good because if you're getting him outside pick 100 and you know what George Kittle can bring you to your team and he's good to go for week one, even if he misses two games, right? George Kittle, for his age, what he's able to do on that 49ers field and with Brock Purdy, who hopefully stays healthy, I've still been drafting him. I just make sure that if you're taking George Kittle and you've got a little bit of a deeper bench, right, that I go ahead and I take one more tight end, because usually if I get one of the more elite tight ends or the guys inside the top five or the top eight, I say, okay, I'm done, because I'd rather have more depth at running back or wide receiver on my bench. But if I'm getting someone like Kittle, who all signs point to him being okay, but I'm still a bit nervous about it, I'll just go ahead and double down with a Chigakonkwo at the end, a Dalton Schultz, just in case he can't start right away. Then you've got 4 weeks, you say, okay, you were going to stream anyway no matter what, so now you've got someone on your bench just in case.
Any other 49ers topics?
Yes.
The injury. I was like, that's all we're talking about.
Don't want to move on.
Well, Christian McCaffrey, I think, is natural because it's just like how high do you take him? Because when he's healthy, he's the best player in the league, and he's going to, from a fantasy standpoint, every point imaginable. But how do you, like, what's your level of confidence in that happening?
I'm going to be honest. I didn't take him last year, and I'm not taking him again this year. And that could burn me, because the thing with Christian McCaffrey is he's that player that if he stays healthy, he does what he did last season. And I was like the SpongeBob meme where I'm looking out the window and everyone's having fun with Christian McCaffrey. But to me, I still just don't like it there at his price, right? He goes probably the fifth pick right now, and he's the third running back off the board. And so to me, I would rather have Jackson Smith and Jigba. I'd rather have Amon-Ra St. Brown ahead of him. Like, I'm just not going there. And it could burn me again, but people are worried about the touches. People are worried about how you come off of however many touches he had last season and saying, can he actually stay healthy for a full year? And if he does, he wins you fantasy championships. If he doesn't, it's going to be hard to come back from. So I'm staying off again, but again, it burned me last year.
That's my thing that I struggle with personally. If you draft him and he gets hurt, you're like, oh, well, I set myself up for this. I knew it. If you took somebody else and they get hurt, you're like, okay, well, I just got bad luck. It feels different, I think.
Yeah.
So. All right, so I'm curious. I'm done?
Yeah, you're allowed.
Okay, thank you.
We're done with the 49ers now.
So, well, I'm going to pick your Seattle fandom brain, because obviously Kubiak goes from there to now being the head coach out here. Is there a chance that we should – because where's Brock Bowers going, generally?
Brock Bowers is going in the second round. He's the tight end one off the board.
So would I be crazy to think that if I'm on the back end of the first round, I actually might sneak in and burn it on Bowers? Could he be their JSN? Like, they've got nothing.
He could be,
And Kubiak's probably going to scheme up everything for him, right?
Yeah, he could be. And I think if you wait, honestly, to the end of the second round, you might not get him. Like, that's how early he's going. It's kind of middle second round, depending on who you're drafting with, right? You always have to know your league mates. But, because people always look to the wide receivers, and they're like, it's one for one for the wide receivers. No, like, Brock Bowers could be this year's JSN for them, because where else are they going with the ball? Like, I draft Jalen Naylor for fun because he might be the number one wide receiver on that depth chart, but it's one of the worst wide receiver rooms in the NFL. So between Brock Bowers, Ashton Jeanty, you say to yourself, and I love Clint Kubiak. Like, I was so sad when he left, but it was understandable because everyone wanted him. So I would be drafting Brock Bowers that early, and you might even be too late there. So he's someone that you can take in the middle of the second round and just say, hey, if these running backs are off the board, if you don't like Drake London, some people don't like Nico Collins, and then they say, well, I'm just going to go get the most elite tight end on the board.
To follow up really quickly, are we sure that Ashton Jeanty's like rock solid number one?
Where?
Like, little top running back. No, on the depth chart.
I was like, on the depth chart? Yeah. Why?
Are you sure?
Who, are you worried about Mike Washington?
I think Kubiak's going to want to rotate these guys.
No.
Jeanty has not really been that good in his time in the uniform.
I know, but look at the offensive line. How bad was that? Okay. That's my thing. I think if you have a better offensive line, which they went out and they paid for Linderbaum, and it has to shore up. Because I think right now we might be people think that we might be overreacting to how much better that offensive line is, but you go back and watch last season and it was so bad. Like, he was getting touched before he even had a chance to get ready. And so it's one of these things where, yeah, I'm not sure, could they rotate someone in a little bit, but sure. I don't think it's a 1A, 1B to Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker. Sure. 'Cause Kenneth Walker also had the injury history where yeah. they just say, hey, we want to keep you as healthy as we can. To do that, we have to, and Seattle loves Charbonnet. Like, they love Charbonnet. So that's the other thing here is that I think when you have a talent like Ashton Jeanty, I don't think you have to overthink it. He's someone that you can take. My favorite place to draft right now is probably 9, 10, 11, 12. 10, 11, 12, you could go back-to-back running backs. You could get James Cook, Ashton Jeanty. You could get Ashton Jeanty, Saquon Barkley. And I think that's an amazing way to start.
Oh, he's going that high.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He's a first-round pick.
Okay.
If
also,
you want him.
Real quickly, after we just had the conversation with the Houston Texans, too, and their offensive line, you made the comment, right? It's hard to have a good run game if you don't have a good offensive line. Same thing with the Raiders. So yeah, if they're improving it, that's what matters.
It can't be worse than last year. Like, I truly, it can't be worse. If it is, then, it could. I really don't think it could be.
JPJ's already hurt, and we'll see what happens at guard.
Kendall Valenzuela, senior analyst over at Fantasy Life, joining us here in the flesh, which
yes,
is amazing.
In studio.
But you have an article up right now, fantasylife.com,
yep.
the must-draft players. Who's at the top of your list? I don't want to give away the whole thing.
You know, funny enough, the guys that were at the top of my list, just to, like, pull back, was Jordan Tyson. Don't do that anymore. It was Emeka Egbuka. Then he got hurt right when I was writing that article. So just to be fair, we've changed it around a little bit. But I really like drafting DJ Moore. And some people are going to hear that and just be like, no, what is happening here? I can't do it. But to me, I think that people are looking at DJ Moore from last season and they go, well, 16% target share. He's washed. He's never going to give us what he was. And to be fair, I do not think that he is the player that he once was. I don't think he's going to go in and have the Stephon Diggs kind of role there. But I do believe that we're kind of overlooking a wide receiver that now goes to a very high scoring offense. And he's now their number one. We're not worried about Khalil Shakir if we're talking one for one talent wise. And so I just really like him. Could they still, you know, rotate a little bit, spread the ball around? Absolutely. But to me, DJ Moore is someone that's been a little bit overlooked this offseason. In that move, quarterback upgrade with Josh Allen, and this is a team that's trying to go for it. They've been asking for a wide receiver one for a really long time.
Yeah.
And so is he going to be an alpha? No, but I still think he gives you low-end wide receiver one production. So he's one of my favorite guys to draft.
And speaking of favorites, one of Stormy's favorites this year, the Jags and Trevor Lawrence could
nice.
Have a good year too, huh?
Yes. Yeah, I'm excited for him. Because the idea here is if you don't like Trevor Lawrence, you think that he gives you what he's given you before last season, his whole career. But to me, I think that it's the Liam Cohen marriage, that they're just fantastic together. And so because of that, I believe what he gave you from week 8 on, that he's going to now give you for a full season. And he was the QB1 from week 8 on in fantasy. He gave you a lot on the ground. He gave you a lot through the air. They kept all his weapons. I think the only thing that regresses is probably his touchdowns on the ground. But I think you could still expect 5 or 6 instead of, you know, the double digits that you saw. But that's the only thing. I love Trevor Lawrence.
He was someone I was super jealous of Keyshawn Johnson sure. yesterday when we did our NFL Futures
Ooh.
Draft because he took Trevor Lawrence at, like, I think around 20-1 to be the NFL's passing leader this
mm-hmm.
year. He also did make the comment that Trevor and I have the same hair. So that was...
I mean, it's true.
That was a layer to it as
Beautiful
well.
Beautiful blonde.
We did real quickly, and we'll hit this on the other side of the break, but just wanted to get this out there. We got some breaking news in the NBA, which we'll see if you like it or not. Klay Thompson expected to sign with the Miami Heat.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. They need shooting, so... It was a move we were waiting for a very long time.
All right. Not as fun of a way to go out on the break, but...
what are you talking about? That's incredible. No, nobody shares the same passion as I do. You have pooped all over my love for the
We're
NBA
just having so much fun talking about other things.
Yeah.
No, well, he's hitting me with, like, feeble lineups and stuff. I'm like,
Ooh, Serbia.
Dude, I'm
oh,
not
so there was a friendly between
here.
Serbia and France
you
yesterday.
Know
it was really good.
Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you.
And cannot wait to have you all season long once again.
Yes, so excited.
We got to take a quick timeout, but we'll be back. We'll react to the NBA news and talk a little bit more about that NFL futures draft from yesterday. Do you like our picks? We'll see.
Yeah.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Rainbow Authentics and VSiN are taking the bets to the beach next week. Tim Murray and Matt Eumanns headed over to Hawaii for a special edition of VSiN Primetime, live from the islands, Wednesday, August 26th, plus a beach edition of the College Football Betting Podcast, breaking down all of the Week 0 action. Don't miss it. VSiN in Paradise, live from Hawaii, Wednesday, August 26th, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, only right here on VSiN. We're back here on VSiN. Money Moves, Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. And I guess with college football on the brain, it makes sense some of the commercial conversation we were having with Brad Evans, who joins us in studio.
Hold on, amigos.
What's going on?
What's crack like it? Can I go to Hawaii? I would love to crush about a dozen Mai Tais at the Royal Hawaiian, which is kind of the soulful drink, I can tell you that.
Wouldn't we all? Although we didn't even get the invite. So, like, you got to talk to some people because I know we're not going, unfortunately.
Oh.
We didn't get the love.
What's in a Mai Tai?
A lot of alcohol.
Yeah.
Some juice.
That's all that matters. Okay,
yeah. Some juice, I believe, right?
Sure.
Rum? Yeah, I'm not
sure.
A big rum guy.
You're not a rum person?
Not really.
Oh,
the Mai Tais are fantastic. They invented the Mai Tai at the Royal Hawaiian.
I'm telling you, a Mai Tai and a painkiller. Top two island drinks.
What?
Well, it's a beverage. You guys are killing
what are we
me.
Doing
absolutely
here?
Killing
Holy
me.
Smoke.
But I'll I definitely did not realize how that came off. It's a drink, guys. It's a cocktail. It was funny though because I asked you how your boys are doing since for our radio audience he's got his Illinois cap on and you quickly shifted from our college football conversation already to college hoops.
Oh,
you're more
yeah.
excited about that.
Well, look, I'm obsessed with college basketball. Been a bracketologist for two decades now. That is my jam, for lack of a better word or appropriate word. Illinois basketball is worth a future bet right now for them to win the national title. Like, they're going to be very much in the conversation. They were a Final Four team last year. The core is back. And Key Wagler obviously is at the next level now with the LA Clippers, but they've got a clone in Quinn Coleman that's coming in, and they have depth. They're extraordinarily talented. They have size and that experience. So that cohesion for Brad Underwood is going to pay an instant dividend, though Purdue is going to be a tough cookie in the Big Ten. But buckle up, folks. It could be a party in champagne, and I'll strike a match and light the fire.
And get some champagne.
All right,
well, let's throw that in. It's a very boozy segment here already.
Why not? We're in Vegas.
It's also August, so as much as I love your love and I do enjoy college hoops, football season's around the corner. So
correct.
We gotta get here. All right, let's go. First off, we've been talking fantasy. We're talking with Kendall. You've been participating in some of these drafts upstairs. You voted or you drafted today.
I drafted.
Drafted
I got my
today.
Team right here.
Woo-woo.
We had to do it old school because the software wasn't working, so we had stickers and a board.
Okay. So I wanted to, we always ask the same questions,
days.
Right? We always focus at the top of the board, and I think we kind of all understand how the top of the board works. Let's go to the back end. Like, last two rounds, who are some of the guys that you're taking, that you're targeting, that you want to stash away or you think have some upside?
Well, it was Deshaun Stribling, but
his
price tag is skyrocketed. Another scintillating performance he had last night. I actually drafted him in round 8 of this 12-team exercise. Some people might say, oh, your arm's in a sling. You know, you're stretching too much and reaching. No, I think Stribling's had a realistic shot of leading the Niners in total receptions this year. Yes, more than Mike Evans, more than Deebo Samuel, more than George Kittle. He is the real deal Holyfield. So extend that go-go gadget arm and get him. But to speak to your point, two guys, Cyrus Allen, okay. The Kansas City Chiefs, a guy that's generated a ton of buzz. Hopefully he's not going to go down the Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore route. We've heard this before, but a dirty work underneath could really rack the receptions. Nice rapport chemistry that he's building right now with Patty Mahomes. And Jonah Coleman,
okay.
Running back, you know, rookie out of University of Washington, a pinball, 5'8", nearly 230 pounds, a yak machine. He is going to be the direct next guy back up to J.K. Dobbins, who's been injury prone. RJ Harvey, who is no bueno, to say the least, last season on a per touch basis. So if he gets an opportunity, he could take off. And I'll stick with Denver and throw one more guy out appropriately. ILL, Pat Bryant. Look, I'm not saying this is an Illinois homer, but I've been getting text messages from boots on the ground in Denver where I used to live. So I know a number of people that cover that team saying this guy is a star. He has been the star of camp. Sean Payton has said that himself. And you're getting Pat Bryant for absolutely nothing. Nothing but a late round stab right now could pay a massive dividend.
Sure.
I guess speaking of Denver then, just real quickly, JVT is probably one of the dissenters on.
Probably.
Okay, yeah, I didn't want to go that far. I didn't want to be mean, but he is very anti-Denver this season in the AFC West. Are you in agreement with that?
Bad.
Do you think that they're going to win the division? How do you see them?
Okay, this is where you and I differ enormously. I picked Denver to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Wow, yeah.
So I have Rams, Broncos, Super Bowl. Obviously, I'm taking the Rams. I think there's a world where the Rams, it may be a stretch. It may be bat-bleeping crazy to say this, but they could run the table. They're that talented across the board. Aaron Donald, I think, is going to be back. I mean, they're incredible even without him. So they're the team to be clear in the NFC. I know they have a tough schedule. I know they're in a tough division outside of Arizona. But I believe in the Broncos. I think they have the best offensive line in the National Football League. I like the upgrade in weaponry that they have overall, adding Jalen Waddle. And the ground game, I think, is going to be sound. Whether or not J.K. Dobbins stays healthy, R.J. Harvey amounts to anything. Again, I like Jonah Coleman. I believe in Bo Nix. I like Sean Payton. He's got an ego to feed, and he is very, very high on this team and should be.
You have any win totals that you have that you really like in the NFL?
Yeah. I mean, I like Denver on the over. Yeah. That's obvious. The Bears, I kind of like the under right now, and I'm a diehard Bears fan, but that total is way too high. There's too much buzz around that team. They got a very difficult schedule in their own right. That defense has got to, be a sieve. I'm thoroughly convinced of that. The offense, Ben Johnson, we want to be the best scoring team in history. Like, I'll have what he's smoking because it's not going to happen. No,
my tie and a painkiller, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, yeah. Colston Loveland. I stacked them in my fantasy draft upstairs. So I believe in the Bears' offense. It's the defense that is a woeful concern.
So that's a good philosophical fantasy question. How much do you batch players from the same offense?
I try to connect the dots when I can, when it makes sense. I'm not going to overstretch just to, stack overall. But when you look at a very healthy offensive environment, you have an architect who is brilliantly minded in calling plays and Ben Johnson. And you have cohesion, and you also have experience with everybody kind of working together. And I think Luther Burden's going to be good to go for week one. Like, Colston Loveland could be the most valuable tight end, in my opinion, in fantasy. Better than Bowers, better than McBride. I tend to go down that route. I'm one of those guys, when I go into a draft, Stormy, I'm a value-based drafter. I don't have a strategy. I don't over-prepare. Sure. I go with my little cheat sheet here, single page, old school, and I just wait for the board to unfold and say, oh, that's good value. I'll fire off, and that's how I build my teams.
What about day-to-day fantasy strategy? Like, is this a dated philosophy, like pairing your kicker with your running back? Because then if you get into the red zone, like, you can get points from your kicker and not your running back. Like, little things like that when it's in your line, would those matter?
Yeah, it can. Yeah. I mean, you look at the Houston Texans. Yeah. Like, how efficient are they going to be inside the red zone with C.J. Stroud, the controls? Can be Fairbairn? I mean, he was in bombs last night, right, on the exhibition game against the Las Vegas Raiders. So, yeah, I mean, you can do that. But, again, I just wouldn't go the extra mile to enforce that strategically in building your fantasy franchise. The goal of any fantasy team build is, how am I going to get the most points on a week-to-week basis? How am I going to be consistent, period? That should be what everybody strives to do.
With you being more of a free-flowing draft style, is there a limit where you want to wait a certain round before you grab a quarterback? Like, how do you see that part of it?
Well, it's all going to vary. So if you're in a home league, somebody's going to take Josh Allen probably like round one, round two. It's Josh Allen. I mean, he's incredible. He's going to win MVP. The stadium that they built sucks because all the obstructed views, but he's awesome at football. So you got to read the room, understand, like, in expert leagues, and I don't know everything.
These nerds upstairs.
I'm a numbers nerd, handfully raised. Quarterbacks always, stick around. It may be round five, round six. Somebody rips a Band-Aid off, and then it starts a trend. Oh, well, Josh Allen went, then Jane Daniels is going to go. Lamar Jackson's going to go. Jalen Hurts is going to go almost sequentially right after. So you got to understand the room and take it on a case-by-case basis. But, yeah, I think a lot of home leaguers, they tend to overreach on quarterbacks.
Is that the order of quarterbacks? You just rattled those off.
I got my cheat sheet right here, bro.
Yeah, let's go.
So right now, my top five quarterbacks in fantasy football, Josh Allen, number one, of course. Jaden Daniels, I have a number two. And then Lamar Jackson, Drake May, and Joe Burrow. The reason why I have Jaden Daniels a little bit higher than the consensus, A, that Washington defense is going to royally suck.
Yeah.
So that's going to raise the number of pass attempts. B, he's missing Laremy Tunsil on the left-hand side, which means he's going to feel the pressure, get flush out of the pocket more. He's going to run more as a possibility. Now it raises a risk of injury, and that's a guy that's had a lot of nicks and scrapes. But I think Jaden Daniels, if, and it's a colossal giant if, we can get 15 games out of him with Stephon Diggs now in uniform, Chigakonkwo coming in, I think he's going to be the second most valuable quarterback in fantasy this year.
We got to go to break, like 20 seconds. Where can people find BetMGM tonight? All of the stuff that you're doing right now.
Westwood One Sports. I'm going to be on air with my homeboy, Pat Boyle, from 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. And the show runs 3 to 8 p.m. Pacific time. Sirius XM Channel 374. And also in over 300 stations nationwide.
Heck yeah. Also saw a Hot Takes fantasy article up on The Athletic written by you just yesterday as well.
I wrote that.
Check it all out.
Sure wasn't AI?
Rumor has it.
Oh, okay. I guess I can string together words.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's football season, ladies and gentlemen, and the sharp money is on the move. Here's how the sharp plays sees it first. Exclusive data feeds from four major sports books, thousands of sharp bettors and professional syndicates tracked in real time before the market moves, and all of it's filtered and sorted by version 6.0 of their AI model. That's the machine. Now the receipts. Every single play is logged. Every result made public as well. Records dating back to 2011 and live logged since 2021. All of it feeding a live performance terminal that you can check out anytime. No need for a login. No paywall. Nobody else in the country runs it like this. So if you want to follow the sharp money, head over to sharpplays.com. That's sharpplays.com. Rolling along here, Friday edition of Money Moves. We're wrapping things up already, which is crazy how fast this has gone. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel. Shout out to all of our guests today. We were packed to the gills, as our friend Mitch Moss likes to say, as he comes up next with Pauly Howard on Follow the Money. But Will Hill, Mike Palm, of course, over the last half an hour, we talked a lot of fantasy with both Brad Evans and Kendall Valenzuela. If you missed any of the show, remember you can always download Money Moves in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. Listen on your own time. You can also find on demand our NFL Futures Draft from yesterday, where we were all over the place. A bunch of the crew was here in studio at Circa. We were over across the street at the D, some folks remote as well, but it was a lot of fun yesterday and a lot of jabs. You always come with the pointed words, but you were in your bag a little bit yesterday. I'll give you credit.
What do you mean? I think I was perfectly normal yesterday.
I mean, Dustin Sweetelson was just out here trying to do his job and wrangle cats and figure out this three-ring circus, and you just could not stop going at him.
I mean, look, maybe he should have done a better job. I
think there it is.
It's probably the issue.
And there it is again.
You know? If Dustin could have controlled things, if Dave would have worn not a T-shirt, if John Hansen would have remembered what picks were off the board, I wouldn't have needed to do the things that I needed to do. But, you know, sometimes you got to keep people in check.
So for inquiring minds of how the draft works, for those of you that maybe weren't available to tune in yesterday, it was 10 picks overall for us. We had to pick two from five different categories. Mm-hmm. It was two win total overs, two unders, a stat leader. Like, there were various different categories, right? A lot of the frustration, I feel like, for a lot of us was that last year we could do alternate numbers,
yeah,
and this year we weren't allowed to. I do want to just put this out there. We've already heard from the powers that be. Alts will be back next year. So our voices have been heard, which is nice.
Oh, really?
We did, yes. Got the note from Mr. Cohen earlier this morning. Okay. We also got an email. Remember, you can always chime in with us if you want to connect at Storm Bonantoni on Twitter, at me, JVT, also moneymoves@vsin.com. We got an email this morning from Richard Robinson who said, great job by all. Very enjoyable to watch. No rules next year if possible. Just let everybody pick who they want. You could make one rule, no player duplicates. Yes, which I agree with that. But he said, wanted to see some Super Bowl Rookie of the Year MVP long shots, but oh well, maybe next year. Thanks for sharing your leans. The issue, from what I have understood with us doing awards and full season long futures like the Super Bowl, is just how long it takes to get there, right? Like, these end of season props are done in January compared to the very end of the season when, like, NFL honors happens in the Super Bowl. So it's just it's a month later to grade everything, but maybe we could talk the bosses into it. We could try. I think it would be more fun.
So what was your favorite pick of yours?
I mean, I actually bet the Bengals over 10.5, so I liked that I was able to get that in the second round. You?
I think, you know, being able to get Fernando Mendoza under the 2,199.5 passing yards was one that I ended up liking.
Swiping Matt Eumanns, who was right next to you and had that on his list to take next.
He had it up on the screen, and I didn't even realize it because I needed a stat, player stat thing. So, yeah, under 2,199.5 yards for a guy. By the way, I went back and read some of Kubiak's comments. And he talked to Miles Simmons, who works over at Pro Football Talk, and he said, he clarified exactly what I was telling you, which is, I want guys to feel uncomfortable. I want them to try to feel like they have to fight for their jobs. Fernando Mendoza is not going to play, and Kirk Cousins is going to be the guy. So that's pretty solid logic there. And I don't think we're going to see him on the field. If we do, I don't think it's going to be to like mid-November. And so I'll take my chances under 2,200 essentially passing yards that he's not going to be able to get there.
There were a few of those moments where you I don't know if this happened to you specifically, but I know obviously it happened to Matt in that instance, and it happened to me several times where I had my next play ready and I was going to pick in the next two or three and somebody took the thing that I was looking at. And it was crazy, at least in my opinion, how often that popped up for me. I feel good about my draft overall, though. I liked it. Yours was graded by Claude.
That's in the top two? AI, yes. I was second. Yep.
I was fourth in the AI grades, but we don't trust the robots. We don't need any of that. Here are my plays we laid out here with my first round selection. I got ahead of it from Dave Ross, our good friend. I took Dak Prescott as a passing yards leader, plus 850. The Bengals, as I mentioned, over 10.5 wins. I took the Jags to win the AFC South, as we discussed earlier today in the show. Justin Jefferson over his receiving yards. This is another one I really, really like. It's only 1,149.5, and we talked about Kyler Murray and the Vikings earlier this year and how he's a guy that likes to feed his guy. Mm-hmm. We've seen the chemistry that they have already developed here in the preseason, and just from a number standpoint, even with two of the last 3 years, him having three or four different quarterbacks feeding him the ball, still 1,000-yard season. So if he's got a consistent presence here, let's get that one going. Browns under 5.5 wins at plus money. Couldn't get the alt 6.5 that I wanted. Josh Allen over 36, 24.5 passing. Bucks to win the NFC South. Derrick Henry, rushing touchdowns leader at plus 550. Got that in the eighth round, so I feel good about that value too. Chiefs under 10.5 wins and the Eagles over 10.5. And that was like a forced play.
You didn't take any shots. Not a lot of big plus prices on there outside of our leaders, which usually generally are, but you didn't go.
So I tried to do
risque.
Even though I hate the robots, I did try to have kind of balance of things that I felt really confident can win. And then a couple plus money pops that ideally the whole portfolio, if you hit certain things, will come together.
Yeah. So for my picks, my first pick was the Broncos win total under 9.5. We've talked about this a lot. We're going to have the Broncos on Monday, right? Yeah. Justin is going to be our next team.
Correct.
So that'll be part of the training camp tour. We'll expand a little bit more on it. But Lions win the NFC North, plus 170. Mendoza under 2,199.5 passing yards, minus 110. Burrow to lead the league in passing yards. I was surprised I was still there at round four, plus 750. Jets, and this goes to answer your question, was I ever swiped? No, because as you can kind of tell with the theme a little bit after Burrow, took a lot of picks that I don't think a lot of people were going to be taking, right? Over on the Jets win total, over on the Cardinals win total are my two overs. Seahawks and Broncos under, two teams that I think generally a lot of people like. So kind of going a little contrarian with the win total selections. Your 49ers to win the NFC West. I needed the second one. They were left on the board. And yeah, I made the joke about the guy from Atlanta who told us that Shanahan couldn't lead a group of men from a bar to a strip club out here in Vegas. But he's been wrong. And this dude's won double-digit games in 3 out of the last 4 years. Why would I expect anything different? So I think in terms of actual price and probability, even with the injuries, I kind of trust they're going to be there. Jeremiah Love over 774.5 rushing yards. Got that from Tim. Just took it because he was talking about his former Notre Dame running back.
Did you see how much that Jeremiah Love's rushing yards have gone down since that injury? Oh.
Yep. I think he's going to be the guy, you know, and as somebody who thinks, and it kind of coincides with, right, our Cardinals over win total, because I do think Love's going to be good. And I think one of the reasons why I am more pro Arizona than I would be Miami, I think it is tough to ignore the offensive skill position talent that Arizona has. Marvin Harrison Jr., McBride, Love, like there's a lot going there for that team. So if LaFleur kind of brings that same floor in terms of offensive production with that scheme that generally comes with it, I think there's going to be a pretty good shot that the Cardinals surprise a couple of teams here and in the regular season. And then the last one, the bomb that I wanted to see. Yeah. We've talked a lot about it. I've been very pro Kenneth Walker. I don't know if he's going to achieve these heights, but at 30-1, if somehow he does lead the league in rushing, I almost don't have to worry about everything else because I might just walk away the winner if he gets that. So Kenneth Walker, rushing yards leader, 30-1.
And this is something that we'll kind of keep track of as the season goes on. Looking forward to doing it again next year as well, like each year making little tweaks to try to make it better, make it more fun. It was awesome yesterday. On the way out here, I do have one bet in Major League Baseball I wanted to put out. I laid the run line with the Phillies, minus 120, and shop around because I know that's gotten bet up at least a couple places, but there is still a couple minus 120s out there. I just don't know if the good vibes for the Cardinals can carry over from what they did yesterday to win against the Reds to today. And the Phillies are rolling right now. They come into today on a 6-game win streak, won 8 of their last 10, 5 of those wins over the streak, cashing on the run line. And Jesus Luzardo has been awesome this season, 11-5, 6 in Major League Baseball in strikeouts, only given up more than 2 earned runs once in his last 12 starts, had that wonky game in Miami, but that's it since June 6th. I was also debating the over 7.5 strikeouts as well as at plus money, had 7 or more in 5 of the last 6, 9 9+ in 3 of the last 5. But just a couple different angles here. The only bet I ultimately ended up getting to was the Phillies on the run line. But I feel good about it today against the St. Louis team.
Yep. I'm with you. I agree. I hope you win it.
Last thing now, because we got a tweet making fun of the beverage comment that I had last segment.
You said you like Mai Tais and a painkiller.
Mai Tais and a painkiller. A painkiller is a beverage. Thank you, Jason, for chiming in as always. And I pulled up the ingredients for everyone.
Okay.
Dark style rum, pineapple juice, orange juice, cream of coconut, finished with a generous sprinkle of freshly grated nutmeg on top. And if you want to get crazy like I do, honey on the rim. It's a delight.
Ugh, that sounds terrible.
What?
I don't like coconut. I don't like rum.
You don't like anything good or sweet or nice or good about life.
I mean, that's not true at all.
It feels pretty accurate.
Like a lot of different things.
I don't know. I hang out with you a lot. I've got a pretty good gist of the personality.
Hang. Everybody tells
Anyone
me how awesome I am.
Anyone that says they're a great hang probably isn't a great hang.
Not true. I think I've hung out with the majority of our crew here at the Vegas Stats and Information Network. I would say 99 out of 100 of them would tell you that.
I don't know.
I'm
I've never
awesome.
Heard anyone come in here and just be like, oh my God, JBT so far.
You're talking about Blowers. Alex Blowers comes in all the time. Like, hey, mate, when are we going to hang out?
Lydia. Okay, apparently Lydia in the back lied to everybody in the control room, said you're fun. We got to step aside. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out, as always. Nothing better than a fun
today.
Friday. Enjoy the weekend.
If you're here at Circa tonight, I'll be out and about. Come on.
Yes, or if you want to fight him, you know where he'll be.
That too. Monday to Friday, 11 to 1.
Have a great day. Follow the money coming up after this.